You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. Big day in our third act. We're adding affiliates. How about that? How the heck are you? Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. And for those of you joining us for the first time, I'm David Moulton.
That would make me Mark Miller.
Huh? And we got Trent Bally handling the controls. All right, young guy, hell, less than half our age. He's already a cancer survivor. Big Michigan sports fan, except for the Wolverines. And he's going to marry a girl from Appleton, Wisconsin, and make his life miserable. She's going to be a Packer fan. She's going to be the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. He hasn't met her yet. That's just how we've got the script playing out. Top of the morning to you, Mark. How are you?
I am doing very well. Good weekend. A lot of stuff with the daughter. What weekend isn't? Little soccer, a little softball, little gymnastics over the weekend for me, and even snuck in a little golf on Saturday.
Well, gymnastics, I'm guessing also you had to tape it and then watch it with the wife. I mean,
She was all in. No. We watched it live. Don't kid yourself.
Oh, okay. Watched it live, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you get to tape your stuff, but watch her stuff live, huh?
For the final.
I gotcha.
That was big.
Well, the semis were shocking. Number one team in the country. Didn't make it to the finals. Right, big deal.
It isn't our household, David. Don't kid yourself.
Yep. Listen, I was thinking of you because the daughter in the last few weeks has taken the granddaughter to, wait for it, gymnastics.
Oh, yeah. And I know the program. The Mom and Me Gymnastics. I've seen it on many a morning when I have stumbled in with my daughter for her lessons.
Well, is it really gymnastics when you're two?
No, it's rolling around on the floor is what it is, David.
Yeah, it's like jumping into the ball pit and what have you. And occasionally, what's the balance beam? 4 inches off the ground? Looks as if it's about as wide as the sidewalk. And then they walk across it and they feel good about themselves. Yeah, one of the teachers already gone up to my daughter and said, you really need to enroll her in. Whoa, take it easy. This is 1 hour on a Monday just to occupy her. Come on now. Relax. Oh, man. So I already felt as if we're, beginning to go down your daughter's road.
And you will.
Eight years behind, but we're catching up.
Not a doubt in my mind.
Oh, boy. Anyway, remarkable sports weekend. First off, great golf weekend. My goodness, we'll get to that. But the draft's a little over 72 hours away. Got a few folks in our Twitch chat room. By the way, twitch.tv/Miller Moulton. You can watch the show. Yeah. Mark's tan. See, he has a membership to a country club. He plays golf a couple, 2-3 times a week. Okay. Me, I haven't played golf in years. Not tan. Bad lighting in my house. And I'm bleached out even more. Right. I look like that. Who's the character in anyway? Just, between the white hair and just the white face. I need some makeup. That's basically you'll be able to tell. Miller's on the left, Moulton's on the right, and Moulton needs some makeup. Going to go back to my local TV days. Going to go out and buy Golden Beige number 2. Apparently, I have to start wearing it for the show. I thought I was done with the TV makeup thing, but maybe not. But, man, I was all in yesterday. All in. And not for my Rangers, because if the Rangers can't beat the Caps this year, then, not even worth paying attention to. But I was all in for Lightning Panthers, honestly. 12:30. I literally barricaded myself in the room, closed the door, said to my wife, I'll see you at 3 o'clock, maybe.
Couple of hits in that game.
About 110.
Right.
Apparently. Right. Mm-hmm. So much so that one of the Panthers looked at the stat sheet and said, I don't know if I've ever seen a game with over 100 hits. But heck of a start to the NBA and NHL playoffs here. Because, you know, Mark, remember, there's no such thing as home court, home ice, home field advantage anymore in sports, according to those experts named Miller and Moulton.
Right. We've been studying this for a while, and the home ice court advantage had disappeared.
Right.
Until the playoffs started this year, and a home team can't lose.
Apparently not, Mark. Apparently not. I mean, if we want to include the play-in, we've got, what, one road win? Right? The Lakers won in New Orleans. So, I mean, if we're including the play-in in the NBA, we do have a road win. But if we're just counting the, quote, playoffs? Yes, Jim Morris Sr., playoffs. Home teams are what, Mark?
14-0.
What are they, playing the Marlins and the White Sox all the time? What the heck? By the way, banner weekend for the Marlins. They end up splitting a four-game series with the Cubs. Yes.
They're back.
We'll get to that in a bit as well. So, a strange phenomenon here. It's first time, I think, in a long time in the NBA that in game ones, home team went 8-0. And so far in the NHL, the six series that are underway, the home team's up in all of them. And not only that, we haven't had an overtime game yet. And in fact, we've only had, we've had two one-goal games. So the playoffs off to an interesting start in both the NBA and the NHL.
Yes, they are. And a few empty netters in those games as well that, you know, the newness of pulling your goalie with 4 minutes left down one or 3 minutes left has added the empty netters and made a lot of those one-goal games, two-goal games. But you're right.
And this just in, the Celtics seem annoyed with the presence of the Miami Heat. Just kind of like, you know what? We are really sick of seeing you guys. We are done with you. And it's nice of you to not have two of your better players when you show up this time. I have to admit, we really appreciate that. And we're going to try to make as quick work of you as possible and then move on.
Yeah, so, no Jimmy Butler going to be a big problem for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, and also no Terry Rozier.
Right.
Also, I mean, who, you know, one of the guys that they would lean on. So certainly this year, not looking like last year, you know, where the Heat stumbled in as the eight and remember went into Milwaukee game one, Jimmy Butler with a big game and they stole game one and the tone was set. But I'm fired up, Mark, because I think we're going to get a six or seven gamer from the Panthers and the Lightning.
Well, you picked seven. I picked six.
Yep.
Game one was terrific, very physical. Mm-hmm. Vasilevskiy keeps Tampa in it for long portions of the game, but at the end it was too much Florida, and the Panthers get the victory. They end up getting the empty net goal to go up 3-1, only to have the Lightning score late and close it to 3-2. They scored in the final 10 seconds of the game, but the Panthers looked impressive.
You know, our analysis of that series actually looked spot on as the game was unfolding. The Barkov line on point and Kucherov is what we figured, especially in the home games for the Panthers, and they had trouble. They had a lot of trouble. I mean, Kucherov got on the score sheet with 10 seconds to go with the power play goal, which is really a 6-on-4 goal because they also pulled their goalie. But, I mean, for as dominant as Kucherov and point were during the season, that line did not much. Tampa Bay, long stretches of no offense. Long stretches. I mean, would they have like one shot in the first 16 minutes of the game? And then in the third period, they had like two shots for the first 17, 18 minutes of the third. I mean, Florida did an amazing job shutting down the Lightning in the game. And then Bob, when needed late, came up with big saves. So, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this for the next week and a half, 2 weeks. This would be fun.
And Florida did a great job in the game of playing physical but not succumbing to any unnecessary physicality to put them in the box, because the one thing the Panthers can't do against the Lightning is take unnecessary penalties, because the Lightning power play is fantastic.
Panthers' best team in the league, 5-on-5. They only give up a goal and a half a game, 5-on-5. I mean, the Panthers know it. I mean, the Panthers know it. They look around the room and they know, you know, if we stay out of the box, we're probably going to win the Stanley Cup. Not just beat the Lightning, but if we stay out of the box, there's a really good chance we're going to win Lord Stanley's Cup. What do you say? Want to stay out of the box for 2 months? Think we can do it? So
they did in game one. They will have to continue that in this series, because you don't want to give Tampa the opportunity on the power play where they are lethal.
Now, I will say, and you pointed out as well, because the Rangers-Caps game immediately followed Tampa Bay-Florida, and they called more penalties in the first 6 minutes of that game than I thought we saw for 2.5 hours. I mean, you text me, you said, this game's being officiated a little differently than what we saw.
Wow. And it was funny. They go to the intermission, and both P.K. Scooban and Mark Messier, who are the analysts in studio, both were all over the officials for bad penalties being called. Like that, so much so that I think they didn't have anything to talk about, because they wanted to bury the referees during the entire first intermission and kind of said, whoa, the league's going to get mad at us if we do.
So the hockey and basketball playoffs are underway. What are we down to, 80-plus hours? You know, technically about, what, 84, 85 hours to the NFL draft in Detroit? You know, does Trent have any NFL draft memorabilia or anything? I mean, has he gotten his family to, like, buy some shirts and send them to him? I mean, he can't actually go through this draft without wear. It's in Detroit, for goodness sakes.
I don't have any draft-specific gear, David, but over the years, I've got a lot of those number one picks the Lions have chosen, third overall, fifth overall. I've got those jerseys.
Ooh, off the top of your head, and only top five Lions picks. You got a Harrington?
Used to. My dad burned it. That was a long time ago.
It was. That's actually, you were an infant. So, okay. Now, listen, I don't know if he was top five. I think he might have been six. But do you have a Penei Sewell?
No, but I love him. He's on the list.
Listen, because, Mark, when you're buying jerseys for an offensive tackle, you know you're at the point of no return.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you? We are Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. A couple of new audiences today. Thrilled to be in Huntsville and Jacksonville. Howdy. We've been doing this about 20 years. Okay. You know, we're not bad. It's okay. You know, talk a little sports, have a little fun, get you on your day. We were in the afternoons for a long time. We've been in the mornings about 7 years now. I'm David Moulton. I hate mornings.
I'm Mark Miller, and I have gotten to love mornings, mainly because David hates them.
So there you have it. We learned a long time ago that good radio shows have a poll question.
And they have it up early in the show.
Right. And it's best if the question is at least above average every day. You know, people are somewhat interested in it. And then you as hosts can talk about it and people enjoy the conversation. Yeah, we're not good at them. We know that. And you'll learn that in time as well. But today, I don't know. We may have stumbled upon something, and we've stumbled upon it early.
We'll see. What is your level of confidence in your team's front office heading into the NFL draft is our question today, David.
Ah, there you go. Let's get to the heart of the matter. They haven't picked anybody yet. What do you think? Your team going to get right? Or, oh, man, we're going to blow it again.
Extremely confident, somewhat confident, or Giants fan not confident at all? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
You did say that out loud. You did. Ah, you did. And then you got Bears and Cowboys fan that's going, hey, hold on a second now. We're below Giants fan now. Take it easy there, big fella. And of course, 3 years ago, if you asked this question of a Lions fan, they'd be like, we need to invent a new category. We're awful. We always get it wrong. And now, Trent, what's your level of confidence heading into the draft?
10. I will blindly trust anything Brett Holmes wants to do. I'm just happy to be picking 29th and not 5th.
Man, he is cannonballed into the deep end, and he is just hanging out until proven otherwise. It must be a great feeling, Trent. Must be a great feeling. I don't know. Do Chiefs fans even pay attention to this thing on Thursday night, or are they just like, let us know when the season starts?
I think they are at that point now, David, that they just blindly follow whatever is done in Chiefs Kingdom and don't blame them one bit.
I mean, I think they're like, why should we pay attention in April? We're going to at least the AFC Championship game. We've done that 6 years in a row. I mean, well, why do I have to pay attention to any of this stuff? It's all cute. All these other teams, they think they have a chance. That's cute. That's fun.
Well, you know who quite literally hasn't had to pay attention at all is the LA Rams fan base. And this is where David Moulton would say they don't have one.
Well, the Rams have a fan base.
Do they?
They do.
They have fans. Do they have a fan base?
A base. It's all about the base.
Right.
The base. It's not a huge base. I will grant you that. But they do have a base.
I mean, in order to have a fan base, don't you have to outdraw your opponents for home games?
Well, with the exception of the Niners, okay, they do win the battle of attendance at every one of their home games.
Okay.
A Niners home game, they could lose that 60-40. They do. And if they ever host the Raiders, that one's in jeopardy too. Never mind if they're not good and the Cowboys are in town. So, you know, that's your base may be too strong a word. You know, they have more like a grouping.
A reminder, you can text the show by texting 21,000. If you've never texted the show before, you need to send a keyword. That keyword is FSN Radio. You text that into 21,000, then you can text as little or as much as you want from that point forward. Would love to hear from you with Jacksonville and Huntsville joining us this morning for the first time.
And we're live on twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton. You can comment in the Twitch chat room. Mark handles the texts. I'm all over Twitch. Yeah, so we're seeing everything that you say. Good, bad, and indifferent. Trust us. And then we get a kick out of some of the bad ones. We read them to each other, sometimes on air, but oftentimes during the commercial break, you know, to keep the morale high. So that's our poll question. We also, that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, is how we tweet it out or post it on X now, I guess is what the kids say. And Miller_Moulton on X. You can just go and vote in our poll question, your level of confidence in your favorite team's front office. So what a golf weekend. Wow. So they didn't bring it up on the telecast yesterday. Now, I don't know how many people followed the, what is it, the RCB? What are the
okay,
three
yeah.
players involved?
You got Heritage? It.
Yeah, Hilton Head. Yeah. So Scheffler's got a big lead, and he's the best player in the world, and he ain't losing this. Do you know what they didn't bring up on the Golf Channel when they resumed play for about an hour? They didn't bring up the fact that his wife's home pregnant. And they didn't bring up the fact that, you know, maybe playing for second, I mean, she could go into labor overnight, right? Remember, he said, she goes into labor, I'm out of here. Okay, I can't believe nobody mentioned it. Honestly, the only drama associated with this tournament is whether or not his wife's going to go into labor. And then if so, we got like four or five guys battling out for the win. A couple of them have already gone home. Wouldn't that be a kick? Find out this morning that Scheffler's wife's in labor. Okay, and you're tied for the lead, and you've already returned home. Because when you left, you were tied for second, five back. I can't believe they didn't mention it. I'm serious. I'm like, guys, this is the only It's the only thing left in this tournament is whether or not he's going to stick around for it.
What he's doing is amazing.
It's Tiger-esque.
Yes, it is.
Let's be honest. This is between 2000 and 2003, Tiger. He's about to win. Is this his third or fourth tournament this year by four? Third tournament by four or more strokes? Also, he, you know, didn't touch a club for 3 days, played nine holes of a practice round. Is his heart really into the Heritage? He just won the Masters, for goodness sakes. He's about to become a dad for the first time. You really think he's grinding?
No, he's just swinging.
He's just
out there playing a round of golf, basically. I mean, there's your point is well taken, that there's no grind in this. Oh. This is just methodical, David.
And this is how good he is right now. I have to admit, there was a lot to laugh about with the golf coverage. You know, like if Scottie Scheffler mishits a shot. I mean, if you're Trevor Immelman, I mean, first of all, this is like when Jim Furyk was really good, if Jim Furyk pulled the shot. What are you going to do? Go to the swing tracker and show me where it was? I mean, come on, you can't tell. I mean, seriously, with the way he moves his feet, he swings like nobody else in the game. What are you going to do? Say he was a little off balance here? He's off balance on every shot. Here's, by the way, if you're watching golf, there's a new drinking game associated with watching golf. Every single time a golfer is in some semblance of trouble and the announcers say something to the effect of, oh, he'll be lucky to get this within 15, 20 feet. And when they knock it to 6 feet or less, you drink. You'll be hammered by the end of every broadcast. Do these guys not watch golf? Some of them played it. Oh, some of them have won major championships. Do they not realize how good these guys are? There's not a situation in the world they can't get up and down from. What are they talking about? He'll be lucky to get this within 20 feet. Yeah, from about 240 yards, he will. It's a new drinking game. Try it out. Every time they say, oh, be lucky to keep this on the green, 6 feet or less. Guaranteed.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour, 1 hour from now, John Forslund. We think the best hockey play-by-play guy out there. He will join us. We'll talk some Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk some NFL draft in a couple of hours as well. A little more than 72 hours away from the goings-on in Detroit. But for right now, it's time for...
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
Well, we can start with NBA. We can start with NHL. But we're starting with the playoffs. We'll go hockey. Panthers 3-2 over the Lightning as home team so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs are 6-0. The big boys, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, and Tkachuk, they all scored for Florida. Stammer with a goal and assist for the Lightning. So that's game one. They'll do game two coming up. I believe it's tomorrow. Rangers with three in the second, beat the Caps 4-1. Vancouver with three in the third, beat the Preds 4-2. Two of those goals that the Canucks scored were 12 seconds apart. They trailed 2-1, approaching mid-second, scored two goals in 12 seconds to get the home ice win over the Preds. But no game compared to the wild one in Winnipeg. Jets with four unanswered goals at one point. It's not often you score six goals against the best goalie in the world and lose, but the Avs did just that. Winnipeg 7-6 at home to take game one. Four more Stanley Cup playoff games tonight. Oh, by the way, elsewhere in hockey in the Sunshine State, Florida over Jacksonville in the ECHL playoffs in overtime, and Orlando beat Greenville in overtime as well. NBA. The Celtics hit 22 threes. I think they were just trying to beat the Heat solely from the three-point line, Mark. I thought they were going to bypass layups and mid-range jumpers and just shoot threes and see whether or not they could win a game that way. They did easily, 114 to 94. No Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier for the Heat, who looks severely outmanned in this series. Home teams in the NBA playoffs so far, a perfect 8-0. Clippers without Kawhi still beat the Mavs at home by 12. The game wasn't really that close. They were up for 30 for a good chunk of it. Milwaukee got 35 from Damian Lillard in the first half. Mark, you know how many scored in the second half? Same amount as us. Yeah, that's, no one's ever done that before, put it that way. It scored 35 in a half and then scored bupkis in the second half. I mean, people have had big first halves before, 25, 29, 31, but nobody had ever done 35-0. Way to go, Dame. But the Bucks won by 15. And there was one close game, Oklahoma City and New Orleans. I mean, it was a slugfest. SGA with 28. Thunder, inexperienced group, get the win at home, 94-92. Speaking of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Mark, he, along with Luka and Jokic, named the finalists for the MVP. So no Anthony Edwards, no Brunson for the Knicks. People thought that those two might get in the survey as well. Three NBA playoff games tonight. Orlando and Cleveland, Sixers in New York, Lakers in Denver. Obviously, with the home teams being 8-0, you know who's leading 1-0 in those series. It's Cleveland, the Knicks, and the Nuggets.
I saw an interesting stat when it comes to Cleveland and Orlando. Cleveland has had an 18, they have won the first game 18 times in series. They're 17-1 in the playoffs when winning game one.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting little stat.
That is a nice factoid out there. Huh. By the way, a tidbit about the Knicks-Sixers series. So the Sixers lose game one. And Nick Nurse, their coach, afterwards is asked, and he said, yeah, we have no problems with anything that happened tonight. And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, we wanted the guys to beat us who beat us. He basically said, if Miles McBride and Josh Hart are going to hit threes in the fourth quarter, we're going to lose the series. But we're going to try the same thing six more times and see how we do. I like that. Baseball. Yankees took 2 of 3 from the Rays. They scored 4 in the fifth yesterday, 1-5-4. Marlins split a 4-game series against the Cubs. That's like a dramatic winning streak. 6-3 Miami over the Northsiders. Texas hit 3 home runs, avoided the sweep at the hands of the Braves, 6-4. Phillies have won 6 in a row. Of course, they beat the Rockies and the White Sox, but they still count in the standings. 8-2 over the White Sox, who are 3-18, by the way, to start the season. That's a 143 winning percentage. 3-18. And they've been shut out like 7 times already. Unbelievable. You know who has the best record in baseball, Mark?
Cleveland?
Woo! You are bringing it this morning, my friend. The Guardians are 16-6. They beat Oakland 6-2. They also retired Jim Thome's number. It was a really nice ceremony. Jim Thome, one of the all-time good guys in sports. Everybody loved him. And, you know, he was on those 95 and 97 Indians teams that came so close. And a really touching moment. If you haven't seen the video, go check it out. He has one final home run try. And he did it with his son. And they ran the bases together. That was neat. A bunch of shutouts yesterday, Mark, in Major League Baseball. Baltimore 5-0 over KC. You had Milwaukee sweeping the Cardinals 2-0. You had the Reds sweeping the Angels 3-0. The Dodgers snapped a 3-game skid. Ohtani homered. He's now hit more homers than any other Japanese player in Major League Baseball history. 8-run fifth also for the Dodgers, 10-0 over the Mets. And the Nats, 6-0 over the Astros. Man, the Astros. This is lingering. This is
starting to get a little more serious now. We're almost through, you know, we're darn near through the month of April, and they're winning at like a 300 clip.
Yeah, wait 72 more hours and somebody important will go on the IL also for the Astros. They are getting the bug. Pirates have lost six in a row. Boston beat them 6-1. Colorado and Seattle split a doubleheader. And that's what you do, by the way. You bet on the team that lost the first game. If you've done so far this year, you're 4-2. Just so you know, we've had four splits, two sweeps in the doubleheaders. Arizona 2-9 beat the Giants 5-3. San Diego doubled up Toronto 6-3. And Detroit 6-1 over Minnesota. The Twins, the favorites in the Central, are 7-13. They've lost 6 of 7. And oh, by the way, because we asked this trivia question last week, do you think that Trevor Bauer will play in the major leagues again, yay or nay? And 2/3 of you said no. Well, he pitched 6 innings in the Mexican League and struck out 14, which ties a Mexican League record, including 9 guys in a row. He's 33 years old. He's just waiting for the phone to ring. We'll see if it will. Golf, 27-year-old Scottie Scheffler with a 5-shot lead with 3 holes to play in the suspended RBC Heritage. 4 players are tied for second. Really, the only drama is whether or not Scheffler's wife goes into labor in the next couple hours. Otherwise, that'll be 4 wins in his last 5 tournaments. In the other tournament, he finished second because he missed the 6-footer on 18 to force a playoff. And yet, he's not the hottest golfer in the world. Nelly Korda is. She tied an all-time LPGA record by winning her 5th tournament in a row. She won the Chevron, which is a major. It used to be the Dynasure, by 2. Her 5 wins in a row tied Nancy Lopez in 78 and Annika Sorenstam, who finished the 04 season and began the 05 season with 5 wins in a row. It's her 2nd major. She's 25 years old. Nelly Korda, Scottie Scheffler. How about the futures of those two tours? A 27 and 25-year-old Americans kicking you know what. But, Mark, they better get their wins while they can, at least in Scheffler's case, because Miles Russell is coming. Did you hear the story?
Oh, yeah.
15-year-old from Jacksonville Beach. He just posted a top 20 at a Corn Ferry event. He just shot 4 rounds under par at a course in Lakewood Ranch with bookend, 68, 66, 70, 66. He birdied 7 out of 10 holes in a stretch yesterday and at the moment was tied for 3rd. Did I say he's 15?
15.
He finished T20, 6 back.
I believe the T20 qualifies him for next week's event as well.
It does. It does. He lost out in a Monday qualifier last month to play in the Puerto Rico Open, a PGA Tour event. He lost in a playoff in a Monday qualifier. 15 years old. He broke a Tiger. He's the youngest AJGA player of the year, younger than even Tiger, when Tiger won it for the first time. 15-year-old. I believe he's a 9th grader, homeschooled, Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Lefty, 106 pounds dripping wet, hits it a ton. Miles Russell. Scotty, get your wins in while you can. NASCAR, Talladega, they had a big old wreck at the end.
No kidding. At Talladega, they had a big wreck.
I did, and they didn't have one for the longest time. But final lap, damn near final turn, and because of it, Tyler Reddick passed Michael McDowell and Brad Keselowski, who got caught up in the wreck. And Tyler Reddick, with Michael Jordan in attendance. First time Jordan's ever been in attendance when one of his drivers is won. The joke in the garage was, okay, he's a jinx. You need to stay away. Yes, they were saying that about Michael Jordan. You're a jinx. We can't win around you. So finally, Jordan in attendance when one of his drivers won a race, Tyler Reddick in Talladega. And sad news over the weekend, Roman Gabriel, College Football Hall of Famer, former NFL MVP, Rams and Eagles. He died Saturday at the age of 83. Mark, I love players like this because Roman Gabriel was drafted in a time when you had the NFL draft and the AFL draft. So he was drafted second overall by the Rams in the NFL draft, and he was drafted first overall by the Raiders in the AFL draft. And Gabriel chose the NFL. And I know you'll think, well, of course he chose the NFL. Yeah, Namath chose the AFL 3 years later. Just saying. I mean, not everybody chose the NFL, but Roman Gabriel did. Won an MVP with the Rams. Had a nice run with the Eagles as well. Roman Gabriel was 83. And at 9 minutes before the hour, that was...
That was the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
So what's your level of confidence in your team's front office for the NFL draft? That's our poll question today. Are you extremely confident, somewhat confident, or not confident at all?
There you go, Mark. That last one. That's where I am. I'm a Giants fan.
I have been toying with every Giants fan I see. I just yell quarterback names at them and get them to freak out.
Why? Why are they freaking out? What, like they want Daniel Jones? How can a Giants fan be mad if they drafted a quarterback? Honestly. You happy with the incumbent? Also, answer me this, Mark. If you're Joe Shane and I'm Brian Daboll, we're picking sixth. Do we ever think we're picking sixth with the Giants again?
No.
Because if we are, guess what we are?
Fired.
Thank you. So can't you make the reasoning that the Giants should take a quarterback now because they're never going to be in a better position to grab one? Right?
Yes. It's just that the who is there at quarterback part has the Giants fans that I know a little nervous, particularly the ones that I know are scared to death that they're going to draft J.J. McCarthy, and they don't want J.J. McCarthy.
Okay, here's what I want you to do, and I'm serious, but and you got to be strong when you do this. The next 3 days, I want you to walk up to all your Giant fans in your life and literally give them ultimatums. J.J. McCarthy, Daniel Jones. Go right through the list. Drake May, Daniel Jones. No, go right through the list. Michael Penix, Daniel Jones. Keep going. And you tell me how many of them say Daniel Jones.
None of them will say Daniel. Okay, any with true serum will never say Daniel Jones.
Okay, then they need to be quiet. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not confident that the other guys are a better option either. But, I mean, don't you keep picking quarterbacks till you get it right?
That's been our philosophy for a long time. Because without one, what are you? You're picking six in the draft.
Thank you. So, there you have it. The Miller and Moulton draft philosophy. Keep drafting quarterbacks till you get it right. You only have to be right once.
Text lines open at 21,000 for our new markets in Huntsville and Jacksonville. You have to type in the keyword FSN radio, all one word, one time. Then you can text as little or as much as you would like. Answer our poll question, Miller underscore Moulton. That Mark Miller, the David Moulton on X. What is the level of confidence in your team's front office for the NFL draft? John Forslund, one of the best that calls the game of hockey in 35 minutes right here on Miller and Moulton.